This is God's word found in Joshua chapter 1, reading the first 9 verses. Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. This occurs on the east side of the River Jordan in the plains of Moab, where the children of Israel were encamped at this time. They had just finished up their 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. They had already fought 3 battles against the Canaanites at this point and won all of them. There was a battle against Arad, the king of the Canaanites, against Sihon, the king of the Amorites, and against Og, the king of Bashan, and God had blessed them with victory in all 3 cases. But though they had won these 3 battles against different nations of the Canaanites, they had not yet crossed the River Jordan and gone into the land of Canaan, which was between the River Jordan and the Mediterranean Sea. And at that point, Moses was 120 years old, and God called him to climb upon the mountain and look across the river to the land of Canaan, and there be gathered unto his people. And Moses did so according to the commandment of the Lord. He died at 120. His eye was not dim. His natural force was not abated. And he died, and God buried his body somewhere in the plains of Moab, where no one knows of his grave, even until this day. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, was dead, and then God spoke directly to Joshua how he was to lead the people forward across the river into the land of Canaan so that God would give them the land which he had sworn unto Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob. And so God gives this duty which Joshua had been charged to do. He spoke it directly to Joshua. And if you notice in the words that God spoke to Joshua at this point, something keeps appearing over and over and over again. Did you catch it? God mentioned something along this lines 3 times to Joshua in his commandment to Joshua. The first time is in verse 6. He says, God says to Joshua, be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Then verse 7, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. And then again in verse 9, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Did you pick up on it? Over and over again, God says to Joshua, be strong and of a good courage, or else be strong and very courageous. God says that to Joshua, and I'm persuaded that that's a message the gospel brings to God's children today. Be strong and be of a good courage. I looked up good courage in my little Bible computer program this morning. It appears 16 times in the Old Testament. You know how many times it appears in the New Testament? Zero. The word there, the term is good cheer. That appears 9 times in the New Testament. Remember what the Lord told his disciples before he went to the cross? He said, These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. What's the difference? Well, cheer may very well include courage. The idea of courage plus some joy. Because, you know, in the New Testament revelation, God's children know somewhat more about God's love for them than they did in the Old Testament. They know that not only has he sworn to keep his promises and has a people and that his love is such, but they know that he has conquered death for them. So maybe good courage has a little more to it when you say good cheer. There's the idea of courage plus some joy in it when you realize that Jesus Christ has overcome the world. In overcoming the world, he's overcome your sin, child of God. He's put it away by the sacrifice of himself. He has overcome the devil's accusation against you. Satan has no more power to accuse you before God. He may accuse you to yourself. Don't believe him, but he has no more standing in the courtroom of God. The Lord Jesus Christ has not only overcome your sin and Satan in overcoming the world, he's overcome death, which is the wages of sin, so that he has conquered death for you. Is that a basis for good cheer? I think so. I don't think it's unreasonable at all for us to be of good cheer, or Old Testament version of it, be of good courage. Now, there are different kinds of courage. Most often we think of physical courage. You know, we think of somebody like some of David's mighty men who stood and faced hundreds of enemies at the same time. Maybe you think of a soldier who throws himself on a grenade for his buddies in the same foxhole or location. Maybe you think of somebody like Amelia Earhart who would fly across the ocean in a solo flight early in the days of aviation. Maybe you think of somebody who'll stand up to a bully. There's physical courage. There's also what I would call intellectual courage. That is, having the courage to speak the truth, even though the whole society around you insists upon a lie. You don't buy into it. You may speak it kindly, you should. You may speak it respectfully, you should, but you still won't echo the lie. You're going to speak the truth. That's intellectual courage. Sometimes we may think of moral courage. That is the courage to do what's right, even though the pressure around you is tremendous to do what's wrong. Take for an example someone like the Dutch lady, Corrie ten Boom, who when many Jews in Europe were being put to death, she risked her own life to hide some of them in her own home. So she had a hiding place and she would put them away. And there were times when she could not explain how she was spared and the people were not found other than God's miraculous power. Finally, she herself and her sister were taken to a concentration camp. Her sister went on at that time to be with the Lord. Corey herself survived well into our day to teach how faithful God is and what it means to have the moral courage to do what's right, even when there's tremendous societal pressure to do what's wrong. So good courage can include some or all of that. Physical courage, intellectual courage, moral courage. I value courage because I don't have much. And so a sermon I have preached before and hope to do so again right now is, what can we do to build our courage? Our physical courage, our intellectual courage, our moral courage. What can we do to build our courage? God was telling Joshua, be strong and of a good courage. There was a big job ahead of Joshua. He was going to have to figure out how to get these millions of people across a river. He was going to have to figure out how to order the battle when they faced many more millions of people, greater numbers and more powerful people than what he led. He was going to have to lead them forward, trusting in God into these battles. And then he was going to have to wisely and in a godly manner partition the land to the various tribes so that the children of Israel might go to their inheritance. All of that waited for him before he died. And there was even a place where God said to Joshua, after some of this was done, he said, Joshua, thou art old and waxed in many years, and there remaineth much land to be taken. So the message God was telling Joshua is, Joshua, you're getting mighty old. You still got a lot of work to do. Now, God may be speaking to some of y'all that way. You know, you're getting old. There's still a lot of work to do. Joshua was in that situation, and you know what? The Lord blessed him to do it. He got it done. So God was here telling Joshua over and over again, be strong and of a good courage. How can you and I increase our courage? How can we do that? Let me just mention three ways, if I might. First one I like to mention is found in 1 Samuel, and it's familiar scripture to you. 1 Samuel chapter 30 was a real low point in David's life. He went back to the town where he and his men were residing, and he found that the Amalekites had come in and taken all their wives and children and taken many of their possessions as well. Let's start in 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 1. And it came to pass, when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captive, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail, the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Can you put yourself in David's shoes? You come back, you got 600 men with you. They followed you. They're pretty loyal. But now you come back. The town where you're living is burned with fire. Your wives and your children are taken away by people that hate the Israelites. You don't know what's going to happen to them. Are they going to enslave them? Are they going to murder them? Are they going to torment them? What are they going to do? They're gone. And there, David was the one who had made the decision to go on their last trip and come back. And so you can understand how these 600 men are thinking right now at this point that the leadership was in a bad direction. Here they come back, the town's burned, their wives and children are gone. And they're beginning to think of replacing their leadership by first stoning David himself, who's their current leader. Now, David was a man who had shown physical courage before. He had faced Goliath when nobody else did. He had shown physical courage and leadership before. He was, as a young lad, the captain of 1,000. And had to go out and face battles and behave himself wisely, and he had done that. He had faced some hatred on the part of his father-in-law who tried to kill him. He had faced many things like this, but this is really hard. He goes back, he's worried about his own family, and his men are talking about stoning him. What does he do? He needs some courage. He needs more courage than perhaps he did the day before. And so it says he encouraged himself in the Lord. He went to God and simply drew near to God for courage. You know, God says to Joshua, be strong and of a good courage. Joshua might say, Lord, where am I to get this good courage? Well, the answer is right back to the one who's telling you to be of good courage. You know, God says for us to pray, give us day by day our daily bread. Well, so we're to pray for our daily bread, but who's going to give us our daily bread? The one who tells us to give us, to pray, give us our daily bread. He's encouraging us to keep that conversation going. Lord, give us our daily bread. Give us the kind of courage we need to serve you faithfully, Lord. Give us that courage. And so David did. And after he encouraged himself in the Lord, what did the Lord help him to do? Act on it. Let me keep reading. Verse 7, and David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. So David went, he and the 600 men that were with him, and came to the brook Besor, where those that were left behind stayed. So 200 men were too weary to go on. They'd already had a long trip. They were in grief. 400 stuck with David. They went after them. They came upon the Amalekites, and they won a battle and recovered everything. Nothing was lost to them. But it would have been so easy at that point for David just to say, go ahead and stone me, guys. I've had enough. I've faced so much. It's easy to do. I've had that feeling before. It's just like, goodness, how the troubles pile on. It's like when Job, you know, he lost all that he possessed, then his children died, then he lost his health. It would have been easy for him just to say, I curse God so I can die. But Job didn't. He didn't do that. And sometimes you and I need to encourage ourselves in the Lord and just go to the Lord and say, Lord, you promised that if I ask for your Holy Spirit, you'll give it to me. Please, Lord, give me your Holy Spirit. You promised that if I pray for wisdom, you'll give it to me liberally, and you won't fuss at me. Lord, give me wisdom. Because do you suppose if the Lord gives you the presence of his Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit won't himself be courageous? He will. He not only will give you courage, he'll lead you in the ways of courage. So pray for God to give you his Spirit, his wisdom, and see if that doesn't translate to some courage. David encouraged himself in the Lord. I hardly remember the many times I heard him, Brother Edward Cagle, at a funeral, would comfort the family from the scripture, and then before he would sit down and say, and if there's ever anything that I can do for you, please call me. He says, I might not be able to get there immediately, but before I sleep, I'll be there. He says, but I've got something better. There's times I may not be able to get there, but God's always there. And you know, that's a wonderful thing about encouraging yourself in the Lord, is there's some practices that the Bible tells us how to build our courage that you might not be able to do all the time, but this is one that you're able to call upon. This is someone that you're able to ask this blessing for all the time when you need it. Encourage yourself in the Lord. Let's go to 2 Chronicles chapter 15. This time it's not King David. Well, he wasn't king at that instance. But this time it's one of David's great-great-great-grandsons, King Asa. This is 2 Chronicles 15. I want to start with verse 1, but it's verse 8 that I want. 2 Chronicles chapter 15, starting with verse 1. And the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded. And he went out to meet Asa and said unto him, Hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while you be with him. And if you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Now for a long season Israel hath been without the true God and without a teaching priest and without law. But when they in their trouble did turn unto the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found of them. And in those times there was no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came in. But great vexations were upon all the inhabitants of the countries. And nation was destroyed of nation, and city of city, for God did vex them with all adversity. Be ye strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. And when Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Oded the prophet, he took courage and put away the abominable idols out of all the land of Judah and Benjamin, and out of the cities which he had taken from Mount Ephraim, and renewed the altar of the Lord that was before the porch of the Lord. Did you catch that expression? Here was this prophecy, the words of God, and it says in verse 8, And when Asa heard these words in the prophecy of Oded the prophet, he took courage. That's part of the function of the Word of God. Whether you're reading the Scriptures in the Old Testament or you're hearing the Gospel preached, the fulfillment of which is described in the New Testament. Now, the Word of God does many things for us. Sometimes the Word of God just breaks my heart, makes me ashamed of what I've done or what I've said, and brings me to where I need to repent. Sometimes it does that, but I'll tell you, the overall effect of the Word of God in the long term, reading it from time to time, hearing it preached from time to time, the overall net effect is to increase my courage. Because not only do I read of these brave men and women in times past, like Deborah the prophetess, or Mary Magdalene, or Gideon, or Hezekiah, or some of those people, I read of the courage, the things they faced, and the triumphs they overcame. But not only that, I read the source of all courage, the Lord Jesus Christ, going there to face death. And as he was facing death, remember, he comes back from praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. All his disciples are falling asleep. He there watching over them says, Sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is come, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Can you imagine the courage just before you're to face not only a horrible death, crucifixion, but something that goes well beyond physical death, his payment of our sins in the darkness hanging on the cross? He's coming up and about to face that. He's already prayed and sweat, as it were, great drops of blood being in agony, but now he's watching over his disciples as they sleep. Let me tell you, the Word of God increases our courage. That's why we need to read it. That's why we need to hear it. That's why we need to treasure it. Last example of something that increases our courage. It's in the book of Acts. The Apostle Paul has just survived shipwreck, and he's headed toward Rome. And after the shipwreck, and he was able to encourage everybody that was on the crew, they found another ship, and they made it from Malta to the area around Sicily to mainland of Italy, and now they're heading toward Rome. This is in Acts chapter 28, and I'm after verse 15, but let me start with verse 11. And after 3 months, we departed in a ship of Alexandria, which had wintered in the isle, whose sign was Castor and Pollux. And landing at Syracuse, we tarried there 3 days. And from thence we fetched a compass and came to Rhegium. And after 1 day, the south wind blew, and we came the next day to Puteoli, where we found brethren and were desired to tarry with them 7 days. And so we went toward Rome. And from thence, when the brethren heard of us, they came to meet us as far as Appii Forum and the three taverns, whom when Paul saw, he thanked God and took courage. Now, do you see what's happening here? Paul, he's been arrested in Jerusalem, tried there, taken to Caesarea on the coast of the Mediterranean, tried there, tried again, appealed to Caesar, bore testimony of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and finally, after a long time in jail, waiting trials, he's put on a ship because he's appealed to Caesar, sailed toward Rome, and he cautioned the centurion not to continue the journey once they arrived at Crete because there'd be a great storm, and the centurion didn't believe him, and they set off and they hit the great storm. And things were very bad. As a matter of fact, Luke writes, there was a point where all hope that we should be saved was given up. And yet, Paul encouraged them through that, told them they had to be cast up on a certain island, and they were. They were shipwrecked on the island of Malta. And they stayed there for a while, and Paul actually healed people on the island. And many folks were very glad to have them there. And finally, this ship came from Alexandria, whose sign was Castor and Pollux. And they sailed on from Malta, past Sicily, to the mainland there of Italy. And then from there, they would have to go on foot toward Rome for Paul to get where he could be held for trial before Caesar. So they're making this trip. Well, Paul had never been to the church at Rome. He had written them. That's the book of Romans. But he had never been there. And yet some of the church members heard about that Paul had landed. He was on his way toward Rome. What did they decide to do? They went out and they met Paul and were together with him so that he would know that the church there was thinking about him before he headed on toward Caesar's court. What's my point here? Going to church, if it's a true church of Jesus Christ, going to church increases your courage. What did the scripture there say? And from thence, when the brethren heard of us, they came to meet us as far as as Appii Forum and the three taverns, whom when Paul saw, he thanked God and took courage. He was able to take courage from these brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, whom he may have never met. He was able to take courage from them. That's supposed to be something that happens in a true church, is that we are supposed to be able to take courage from one another and able to impart courage to one another. You know, that's the wonderful thing. Some of you have encouraged me in times past, and when you did, I don't expect you lost any of that courage at all. You know, when the Lord, the woman with the issue of blood, touched the hem of his garments, and he says, I know someone's touched me. I felt virtue go out of me. Do you suppose Jesus Christ was any less virtuous? No, the virtue went out of him and healed her. And he still had the infinite virtue that he always did have. And it's that way with true godly courage in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, is that you can impart courage to me and my courage is increased and yours is not decreased. That's just the wonderful way of the Lord, who can bring forth a whole crop of corn from a handful of seed. That's the way he works. He's the Lord of the harvest. He's the Lord of Sabbath. He's the Lord that fills the earth with righteousness and with fruit. He's just that God of prosperity and increase. And so it has happened before. You have increased my courage, and yours was not diminished. I hope maybe it's happened that way and the other way. I've hoped before that maybe I've increased your courage a little and mine was not diminished. It's that wonderful thing that the Lord does among his children when they walk in his paths and when they treasure his house. There are some ways to increase your courage. Now, I realize some of them are not possible to take advantage of all the time. You know, the church is not always together. We're not always met together. But it's a great thing if at least once a week we can meet and take courage from one another. I know that you can't always be reading the scriptures. There's times you have to earn a living. There's times you have to change a baby's diaper. There's times you have to do anything. But I hope maybe at least once a day, you know, there's some countries where they have to memorize scripture because the Bible's not allowed. What a privilege that I've got one of these right here in the pulpit, and there's one on most of the benches here. And there's probably multiple copies of it in your home. What an incredible privilege to live at this time in the human race. Take courage from God's word once a day, at least, if you can. Every day. Why do I say that? Well, we pray, give us day by day our daily bread. And Job said, I esteem the words of thy mouth more than my necessary meat. Job gives it the priority. Food's important. Daily food is a great thing. The words of God's mouth are more important than daily bread. Man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word which proceedeth from the mouth of God. But you know, maybe you can get to church and take courage from your brothers and sisters once a week. Maybe you can get to the Word of God and take courage from the Word of God once a day. But David encouraged himself in the Lord. The Lord is there 24/7. The Lord knows you with all your faults and failings. He knows my cowardice. He knows the times I have not acted in courage. And yet, He still loves me. He still has courage available for me. Why should I not encourage myself in the Lord? Not only does He know me, He knows what it's like to face times that are fearful. Jesus Christ, the man, not only faced hunger and thirst and weariness and grief. Jesus Christ, the man, knew what it was to face the scourge, the crown of thorns, the nails, the mockery, the shame, finally the death. He knew what it was to face it, and so He knows what it's like for us when we face it. When we face such things, don't face it alone. Call on the name which is above every name, our Lord Jesus Christ. May God bless you. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, dear God, thank you for blessing us so many times. Thank you for your great mercy upon us. Thank you, dear God, for these loved ones gathered together to encourage one another and encourage themselves in you. Dear Father, we pray that with the days to come, we might grow in courage and be of a good courage. In fact, Lord, even be of good cheer. For Lord, we believe your statement. Jesus Christ has overcome the world. Help us, Lord, to overcome as well in our Lord Jesus. Amen.